For those of you who were here last Sunday, we now consider the passage that I ignored, deviated from, in favor of other comments I choose to make at that time. We return to that passage. We give ear to that passage this morning, and instead of reading it, I'm going to show it to you in a clip that dramatizes it. But I need to clarify a few things beforehand. It comes from the fourth chapter of Luke, early on in Luke, and early in Jesus' ministry. And in fact, it includes Jesus' first public words. It occurs after Jesus has been baptized, following which, you'll remember, he goes out and is tempted in the wilderness by Satan. There he is for 40 days and 40 nights. He then returns to Galilee, to Nazareth specifically, his hometown, where he was well known, where he grew up. In this passage, he speaks in the synagogue and basically makes the claim that he is the Messiah, which, while at the beginning is taken by the crowd as being amazingly gracious words, soon turns to something different. In fact, in the clip drawn directly from Scripture, you'll hear the question whispered to Jesus by a man sitting next to him, "Aren't you Joseph's son?" which stands as a turning point in the passage and basically turns the tone from one of praise to one of condemnation. And secondly, there are a couple of references Jesus makes to the Old Testament which bear explanation so you can appreciate the text. Jesus references a time in Israel's history when there is a famine. And rather than Elijah being sent to the house of a widow of the tribe of Israel, he is sent by God to the house of the widow of Zarephath in Sidon, a foreigner, a Gentile. Jesus then mentions a time in the ministry of the prophet Elisha, when though there were many in Israel who suffered from leprosy, it was Naaman, the Syrian, a foreigner, who was cured. In each case, it was the alien who was the recipient of God's favor. And the fact that Jesus pointed this out infuriated the local religious establishment so that they are ready to throw him off a cliff. Let's watch the clip.
Ve'amech kulam tzadikim le'olam yirshu aretz netzer mata'o ma'aser yadai lehit pa'er hakiton m'yiye ha'elef ve'hatzair l'goy atzum ani Adonai bita achishena.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Is not this Joseph's son?
Ye will surely say unto me, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian.
Anybody here remember that clip from the wide world of sports of the skier skiing down the ski jump and falling and enduring that devastating crash? Everybody remember that? As it was being shown, the narration would intone the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. This phrase crosses the athletic barrier to include, when you think about it, a description of various facets of human experience. Each of us can most likely point to those times in our lives when we might describe as thrilling. As well, we can also point to those times in our lives which we might describe as agonizing. This thrill-agony dynamic, this contrast, is reflected in our passage this morning. After being baptized by John in the River Jordan and then experiencing the event we refer to as the temptation, Jesus, described by Luke as being filled with the Holy Spirit, comes to Galilee, to Nazareth, his hometown. By this time, he is well known, popular, for Luke tells us that reports about him spread through all the surrounding country because of the things he did in Capernaum. So Jesus arrives in Nazareth on something of a high. He is being praised. People are responding to his message. His miracles are working. People have heard about him. He is drawing large crowds. They want to hear him preach. They want to listen to his teaching. They want to witness his miracles, perhaps even be healed themselves. So as on the Sabbath, as was his custom, he goes to the synagogue and asks to read from Isaiah. He takes the scroll, turns to the 61st chapter, and reads those words you heard. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolls up the scroll, gives it to the worship attendant, and sits down. People are amazed. People are curious. But then he continues, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Hey, that's great. Isn't he an amazing prophet? What gracious words he says. But Jesus doesn't stop there, and as what he goes on to say begins to sink in, there is a change on the part of the people. "Wait a minute. Is he saying what I think he's saying? Isn't this Joseph's son, the little boy who used to run around the streets of our village?" Rejection shortly follows, and the people who watch him grow up end up trying to throw him off the edge of a cliff. For Jesus, the warmth of acclamation turns quickly to the coldness of rejection. This contrast, that of praise on the one hand and condemnation or rejection on the other, is found in other places in the Gospels. Indeed, it seems to be a reality in Jesus' life. Peter confesses that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, only to turn around a few verses later and reveal he has no idea what that means. Jesus shares an intimate experience with his disciples, only to learn they are arguing about who is the greatest and about where they will sit in the kingdom. Jesus is hailed with "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord" on Palm Sunday, only to hear the cries from the crowd, "Crucify him, crucify him," a few days later. Yes, in his life on earth, Jesus experienced the heady aroma of success and praise and adulation, but he also experienced the pain of rejection and condemnation and misunderstanding and betrayal. Sounds kind of like life, doesn't it? You see, it is in these contrasts, despair and hope, tragedy and triumph, victory and defeat, joy and sorrow, death and life, that most of us live our lives. We know only too well that what is joy today may be sadness tomorrow, or that the sadness of today awakes to the joy of the morning. As the late Roman Catholic spiritual writer Henry Nouwen notes, our life is a time in which sadness and joy kiss at every moment. And it is through these contrasts that the power of Christianity reveals. It speaks to us through these contrasts in which we live by offering in Jesus Christ a life which touched both the heights and the depths of human existence, the ambiguities of life as we know it, as we experience it. You know, Jesus was all about relationships with God and with each other. Love God and your neighbor as yourself, Jesus cited as the greatest commandment. And how many times have I seen couples, for example, doing fine when things are going well, but when crisis strikes, they have not attended to the spiritual dimension of life, and thus there is no reservoir from which to draw, no well of living water from which to draw sustenance, and there is trouble ahead. They may have been searching, but their search didn't include matters of the Spirit. And at the same time, I can look out at this congregation and I see people here who have experienced deep heartache and tragedy and loss, yet who have not only survived but thrived and have done so because they have springs of living water from which to draw. The pain is still there and it will always be there, but it is given context by the reality of the promise of new life, of new hope, offered to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't this Joseph's son? Yes, friends, it is. And Joseph's son invites you and me to join him in the ride of a lifetime, a ride that will experience extreme joy, a ride that does not preclude intense pain and heartache, but a ride on which the power is provided to emerge from the contrasts of life with a hope-filled expectation that, yes, life is worth living, that, yes, love is stronger than hate, that though sorrow may linger in the night, joy will come in the morning. Praise be to God that it is so.